Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of You Enjoy Life. I hope you all are well today, and maybe you're noticing that there's a shift going on in the world right now. Maybe you're noticing that there's some sort of energetic shift and change happening, and I'm not the one that really follows big on the sort of planetary stuff. You know, I'm a Pisces, and I know some basic things, but a lot of my friends do. So they're like, oh man, Mercury in retrograde right now. It's crazy. There's like these double eclipses and moons and all this stuff, and just because I don't follow it doesn't mean I don't, you know, get it and feel it. And the last couple days, actually since almost like the last week, had been really rough. A lot of just confusion for me, a lot of sort of identity crises, things going on, not really sure my purpose in life, not really sure what I'm doing. And I just had this weight on me. And it was this weight that I couldn't lift. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where it's like, you know, things are good. I was looking at my life. I'm like, everything is great. You know, I have a beautiful home, amazing wife, awesome puppy, you know, great friends, a career that I love, I'm passionate, like all the things are lined up, but there was just something that was missing, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and it was this heavy weight in this blanket, and it's amazing because now, I don't know if the retrograde thing is over, but whatever it is, whatever energetically is going on, I feel so much better right now. Part of it's I've been doing more movement. So I think that some people are just like, oh, wow, I'm in total retrograde right now. And, you know, I don't know what to do and I'm freaking out and it's a rough time. But something my wife always reminds me of is like, yes, those things can affect people, but there's also ways that you can deal with it, you know? So I'm learning, like, don't just let it take me over. But actually like work out more. So yesterday, today we went on a long bike ride. We biked, 30 minutes to the farmer's market, grabbed some stuff, 30 minutes back, and it's hot and it just felt really good. And I see that when I feel really heavy and tired and weighed down and depressed, that moving, getting movement, working out, really shaking, moving my body is such a great way. And I just had to remind myself, these are things that I know, but sometimes when you're in it, it's like hard to remind yourself. That's why it's good to have accountability and people that are checking in on you in life. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about today, there's a lot of things that have been coming up, but one thing that I've been kind of seeing over and over again, there's a lot of confusion in the world right now. There's a lot of people that are scared, worried. There's so much drama we have, you know, between all the things that are going on with like the cancel culture. Like, for example, I saw a couple weeks ago, there was this whole thing with like the Dalai Lama and how he made these comments about these women. And he said, someone asked him like, you know, would you be okay with a female, the next Dalai Lama being female? And he said, yes, but I think she'd have to be really like have a lot of inner beauty and also outer beauty. And I think people got upset because they're like, why does the outer beauty thing matter? This is all, you know, it should be inner beauty. And it was this whole thing, and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, there's an article I saw where it was like, canceling the Dalai Lama is the most 2019 thing ever. So there's this big, you know, of course there's, you know, the Me Too movement, which a lot of people know about, but there's also this thing people are calling cancel culture, where people are tweeting the wrong thing, like Roseanne tweets something racist, and next thing you know, she's canceled, her show's over, and you know, people say the wrong thing, or they tweeted something, like Kevin Hart tweeted something homophobic, like 10, however many years ago, and then there was this whole scandal with him hosting the Oscars, and even though I try not to be involved in that stuff, sometimes I get caught up. I still have a little bit of that drama gene in myself, and I read the articles, and I'm curious, and there's headlines and bait, and they get you to click, you know, the people out there, the media, they get you to click and see the article and what's going on. And what I've been noticing is that when I have conversations with friends, there's a lot of confusion and fear in the world because people don't know what they're going to do or what they maybe did however many years ago that might come up from their past. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know, you know, even I have friends, I'm in a lot of men's groups, and so there's a lot of men who are like, I don't really know how to date anymore because I'm not sure how to flirt. I don't know what's taking it too far or what's not. I don't want to offend anybody. And there's like this sort of like, I want to be myself and I want to be honest and I want to be who I am and mess, joke around and be a dude and whatever it is. But I also don't know what the line is because I know some women like when I'm a little more touchy-feely and other people consider it crossing a boundary and like I don't want to get in trouble. And there's just so much going on that people are worried about. And I bring this up not to bring in more fear, but to bring in kind of a counterpoint to this whole thing. So one thing that I'm continually reminded of is that just because there's a cultural norm, you know, I don't need to and can't filter who I am just because there's this sort of cultural norm. I can't change the way I say things to try to appeal to a mass audience and try to please everybody. I need to focus on what's real and authentic to me. And I know I'm a good person. I know I'm someone that cares about people. I genuinely never want anyone to feel uncomfortable. I genuinely, you know, unless it's like for something good, like they're trying to push themselves and get over a fear or something, but I don't want people to feel bad or down. I've always been, even just a little kid, I used to be in camp, I remember, and I wasn't someone, microphone's going down. I was never someone who like would just, you know, stand up to the bully and whatever in like the normal traditional sense. But what I would do is if I saw a kid being picked on, I would find a way to create a diversion. We had this kid, I remember in camp, it happened a lot. And there was this one kid in camp and he was getting picked on and people were making fun of him. And instead of me standing up to the bully and saying, hey, you shouldn't do that, I created my way of like dealing with that was creating a diversion. So I remember around the time that movie Liar Liar came out, I think it was 1996 actually, and somewhere around there, so I was probably 11, 12 years old, and I did this whole skit to divert from the bullying where I was like, do this whole thing where I'm kicking my own ass. That's a scene in Liar Liar where Jim Carrey's like, I'm kicking my own ass, and he beats himself up in the bathroom. And I used to like reenact a scene like that, and I would beat myself up just to make people laugh. And it was like this whole ridiculous thing, and everyone would laugh and have this great time. And then they would forget about the bullying. So I was always someone that wanted people to feel good. I never liked when people were getting picked on. And I was also bullied as a kid in many, you know, in many situations. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, I've been looking more and more at all the problems going on in the world and trying to sort of not create solutions to heal, save, change the world and all these things, but to create solutions that might make you see it in a way where you can understand it better. So some of the things I'm going to say today might be controversial, they might be seem weird, and you might have your judgments and your opinions, and I'm okay with all those things because the truth is, like, I know where my heart is, and I know what the point of this is, and I feel like I'm outside, and I know, in fact, that I'm outside of the standard bubble of what's going on. So there's different ways to look at the world. You know, you can look at yourself as an individual. You can look at yourself as, hey, I'm this person. I have this race. I have this religion. I have this belief. I have this background. I have this amount of money. And you can define yourselves by all these different cultural labels. Say, hey, my skin is this color. You know, I'm privileged. I'm not privileged. I came from this. I came from that. I'm an immigrant. There's all these things. And so much of the drama that's going on in the world right now is created because people see all this separation. People see racism because they're like, we don't like you because of the color of your skin. And, you know, we don't like you because what your beliefs. And there's so much going on that creates all this hate and all this separation. Now, to me, I used to be in that world. And sometimes I forget and I get a little wrapped up in it. But I used to really live in that world. And it was always weird for me because I grew up Jewish. And being Jewish is, I mean, it's odd in the sense that, you know, people say, hey, you're black, you're white, you're Jewish. And being Jewish isn't a color, right? But that's how it was defined for me. Being Jewish was almost like, it wasn't just a religion, it was like a race, it was like a color, where I used to get called, you know, a Jew. That was my name in high school was Jew. It was number one Jew. That was my, I played football, and we had a very mixed group. You know, there was white people, there was black people, there was Chinese people, Korean, like there was so many different races that I grew up around. And I was really one of the only Jewish people, quote unquote, Jewish people on the football team. And I grew up, like, I went to overnight camp, I went to synagogue, I wasn't grown up super religious, but I always was identified as the Jew, and I looked like the Jew, I had the big nose and the puffy hair, whatever, all the kind of stereotypical stuff, right? And I identified with myself as a Jew only because that was how I was labeled by other people. So I got called, hey, Jew, number one Jew, and it used to really bother me, but I started to make a joke out of it, and I started to find the humor in all of it, because I never felt like I fit in with the quote-unquote Jews, you know, and I had friends that were African-American and we kind of make fun of each other back and forth, and it became this fun thing, this way to kind of connect. Now, I wouldn't talk that way anymore, and I doubt that they would either, but it was at the time in high school, it was a way to create some sort of humor out of this whole racial situation. And even when I grew up, you know, being Jewish, people, at least where I came from, it was very much like Jews stick together. We need to stay together. And it may have been a mentality because of the Holocaust and so many Jewish people were wiped out. I don't know exactly where this sort of karmic belief came from, but it was very much like Jews stick together. I know it's similar in other religions too, But I, because of that, I was raised very much to believe and told that, hey, you need to, you know, you should marry someone who's Jewish, and you should hang around Jewish people, and you should go to a Jewish camp, and you know, when we have our country club, and it's all Jewish people. Ironically, Will Smith did go to our country club for a couple of years. That's a whole nother story. And I did meet him once, and actually, I'll tell you real quick, because so there was a he in West Philadelphia, born and raised. You know, I grew up outside of Philly. He was from Philly. His mom lived outside of Philadelphia in the suburbs near where my parents lived. And she apparently he bought her this huge house, and he liked to golf. And there was a country club. I forget the name of the country club right down the street from where our country club was. And it was Christian or Catholic. I can't remember. And they wouldn't let him in because he was black. And our country club, even though it was predominantly Jewish, it wasn't that way because it was like some rule. It was that way because that was just how it sort of came. So he ended up going to our country club, and I got to meet him. That was really cool. He was golfing one day, and he was filming Ali, and he was like gigantic at the time because he was boxing. I was like, wow. Anyhow, that's a bit of a tangent. The point is, there was, for me, I was exposed to a lot of race early on. And even though, you know, when you look at the now, it's like, yes, like white, male, privileged, and all these things, and the white male, a lot of people are worried the white male is now under attack, and you know, all the things that the white male has done in the past are, you know, kind of coming back. And I think there's a good tipping of the scale right now, and I think, you know, feminism and you know, female empowerment and different races that are kind of like starting to come out the spotlight and actually get equal rights. I think all those things are incredible and amazing. But as someone who grew up in this kind of Jewish world, I always felt kind of confused by what I was, because I was, you know, white male, privileged on the one hand, and I was also Jewish, which was like, there was a lot of hate and a lot of anti-Semitism that I grew up experiencing a lot. And I was able to make a joke out of it. I was able to kind of rise above it because I didn't identify with it, that it made it funny. And I was able to connect with people who were more like the sort of, you know, blue collar white males who hated Jewish people. I had this job one time where I worked at a, what's it called? I worked at a, I'm totally blanking, a car detailing place. And it was a job that I had for many years. It was an after school thing, and then it was a, you know, summer thing, and in between college. And I was working with mostly blue-collar dudes. There was a mix. There was some African-American men, and there was white men, but mostly like white, blue-collar dudes. And I remember the first day walking in, and there was one Jewish kid there who was kind of working part-time, and they kind of grouped me together, and they're like, he'll show you the ropes. And he's talking to me. He's like, man, you're going to hate it here. Like, they hate Jewish people. They're going to rip on you. It's just going to be awful, just so you know. And I'm looking at this guy thinking like, oh, man. Not like I'm worried, but like, you know, what is this perspective? What is this negativity? So I remember walking into the bay one day, and there was this guy in there, this short, like real stocky, you know, strong, older Italian dude. And he just like looks at me and he's like, oh, great. We got another rabbi. Like, this is going to be awful, whatever he said. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but I kind of like made a quip back. Instead of backing down and being embarrassed, I kind of joked back at him. I think it says something. I think I joked something about like, oh man, Jewish people, they're the worst or something. Because at the time, I admit I was sort of like this self-deprecating Jewish person. And I said this thing, and he started laughing, and he was cracking up. Everyone was laughing because they couldn't believe that this little Jewish boy was kind of making fun of Jewish people. And we just instantly became friends. I was able to meet it. And again, I'm not saying this because I think that like this is how I would approach the situation now. You know, I was probably 17 years old at the time. It was half of a life ago, literally 17 years ago. But at the time, I was able to kind of rise above it. And I think because I had that perspective of not really associating myself with Jewish people, and I would go to overnight camp, and I just felt off. I didn't like the Jewish girls there. I just didn't really feel that comfortable in that world. And I never really knew why until much later in life. It was always this weird thing, and I never just wanted to hang out with my Jewish friends. I mean, I had Jewish friends that I liked, and there was a group, but I also wanted to hang out with my football friends, my wrestling friends, and all the different people. So part of the reason I'm getting into this is because as someone who grew up not really understanding identity, it was a very confusing thing because I never really was like, I am this, I am proud to be this, I'm proud to be American, I'm proud to be a Philadelphian, I'm proud to be a Jewish person, whatever it is. I never identified with that. And the same honestly goes for sexuality. I never identified with being just like your standard male. You know, I had a lot of female friends growing up, I always had like close female friends, and we would, you know, talk for hours and hours on the phone at night. And I had, you know, girlfriends, of course, I was dating, but also just close female friends. And I had male friends too. And I didn't necessarily get along better with one or the other. I always had really close guy friends. But what I found was like my sweet spot was kind of just being friends with whoever I felt called to be friends with. And I, even as a kid, I remember being in middle school and people joking and thinking that, you know, I was gay. And it used to really upset me, and I didn't understand why. And it took me many years to realize that, you know, as a man who's comfortable with his feminine sexuality, like feminine energy, it can be very confusing because most men hide behind being a man. And what I've seen with not just race, but sexuality, it's like there's so many cultural definitions of what we consider a man and a woman to be. Now, masculine and feminine energy is becoming a bigger thing. People are talking more about the masculine and the feminine. And I think there's something to honor about the masculine and the feminine. But a man and a woman, and you see this so much now with transgender, with the LGBTQ community, with people that are like kind of in this really confusing, changing, growing gender reality that we're living in right now, where people are not really sure what's going on. And what I believe is that it's because culturally, when we try to fit into something, we try to say, hey, I'm a man, so that means I wear these types of clothes, I do these types of things, you know, I have this kind of job, this kind of wardrobe, these kind of hobbies, whatever it is. And if I'm, okay, I'm a woman, I do these kinds of things, and I wear this kind of thing. It's like that to me is all, it's all illusion, it's all made up. It's all, you know, sort of pushed on marketing and media and business and what society is telling us that's right and what's wrong. But the masculine and feminine is very different. It exists beyond all of that. It's not something you can hold on to. It's not something you can sell. It's not something you can package because it just is what it is. Now, but the man and the male and female, you can. And I think what I feel is going on in the world is the reason there's so much confusion. As someone who feels really in tune with my masculine and my feminine, is that when I decide what I want to wear, I don't just go to the man section. I actually, a lot of times, when some of the great clothes that I love and that people are like, where'd you get that? Whatever. It's like I find things in, like, especially like leggings and pants and stuff, I find in female sections because I identify more with certain styles, certain designs, comfort, colors, and things that maybe is traditionally would something that a woman would wear. And one thing that I really kind of took on from, not took on, but really saw very, in a big way, playing a lot of sports growing up, being around a lot of men, was that when men get together, like when I played football, when there's a group of guys, more than two people, you know, three, four, five, whatever, there's this thing that kind of happens. There's this insecurity that everyone's trying to, you know, sort of be the most manly. And I'm not saying this is the case everywhere, but it's just something I notice more and more. When guys are together in a bigger group, it's about joking around. Nobody wants to necessarily be super honest, unless you set the container. Like I've been so fortunate to be in some really beautiful men's circles and make great friendships with people over time that are in a different space. But growing up, it was like when men are together, they're going to joke around, they're going to be gross, they're going to be silly, they're going to be sexual, they're going to be all these things that we identify with like men. And a lot of it's really just insecurity and really unfortunate because people are afraid, I see with men, are afraid when you're in a group that if one person's honest or one person really like shares something that might not go over well, that they're going to be outed from the group. So they fake it and they pretend it. The reason I know this, and I'm generalizing, but the reason I know this in so many situations is because when I get, as someone who never felt super manly and was okay with not being super manly, whenever I would get into groups and, you know, and then I would leave and I would be one-on-one with a guy, there was this honesty that I would sort of be able to harness and bring out within people. And it was the most amazing thing because I would have, you know, the friends who were, you know, captain of the football team or, you know, like really big star athletes who might be one way in a group. But then when I was with them and there was this more honesty and vulnerability, they would start sharing things and opening up in a different way because I could actually create conversation from a different place. I wasn't someone who was trying to be silly and absurd. And yes, I've had those moments many of times, but that wasn't my sole thing. So I could actually elicit something different in those situations. So I'm no expert on race, but as someone who really feels much more in tune with both sides and someone who's very close to a lot of women growing up and, you know, had a lot of long-term relationships and I'm married now, it's like I don't look at myself as like, okay, I'm a man. I need to fit these certain masculine, you know, manly stereotypes. I can be in my masculine and I can be in my feminine. And I can find a balance and be what's true to me. I don't need to label myself as, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing. And some people feel the need to label, and I appreciate that. And some, there are people that grow up and that feel like they're a man trapped in a woman's body. And again, I don't know from that much experience in those things. And I think it's important to honor people's choices. But I think a lot of the confusion comes from trying to define yourself in this normal set of reality that we live in, which isn't, it's real. It's not real. It's made up, you know? And so another thing I want to talk about is race. And this is a, you know, sort of racy subject. And I'm not claiming to be any kind of expert. I'm just giving my own experience and my own opinions. But I truly believe that, you know, there's only the human race. And we can look at color and we can look at religion and we can look at all these different things. And I think it's good to honor people and respect what their choices are. But I truly believe that we all come from something much greater than the color of our skin, you know, or our background, our financial background, our education, you know, our religion. I really think that we are all completely connected to something so much greater than that. So I don't see color. Yes, I see, my eyes see a color, but I don't see color in the way that I define people by what their color of their skin is. I just connect to people that I appreciate, that I vibrate with, that I have similar interests with, that, you know, or maybe that I don't have similar interests with, but I'm curious to get to know. And the more I see the world like this, the more all that other stuff I was talking about, the cancel culture, the race wars, all that stuff kind of fades away for me. And I know they're real. I'm not trying to hide from them. But I also know that for me, it's something bigger than that. And I don't want to just get caught up in drama my whole life and get caught up in the past and get caught up in fear. I want to be, you know, a voice to say, hey, you know, whoever you are right now is great. Whatever race, religion, sexuality, beliefs that you have, like, it's important to have respect for everybody. And not just, hey, like, there's this thing that also is kind of interesting to me. It's like, it's all about tolerance. You know, we have this, it's like almost a, what's the word, like oxymoron or something. It's like we say you need to have tolerance for everybody, and we're living in this world of tolerance, but then we don't tolerate the people that don't tolerate. And it's like, that's still, you still need to have a tolerance for everyone. And you can get upset, you can get mad, you can look at the president and be pissed, or you know, this other person, and yeah, those things are fine, I get it. But at the same time, like, I really believe that if we're able to give everybody some appreciation and really see them from their own shoes, give them love, that things change in a big way. I had, when I was first moving to New York and I was working as a private investigator, I had this experience once that I explained in a video I did on an Old Brothers Green channel. And I was talking about how this guy broke into my car, this Hispanic guy in Queens, or the Bronx, broke into my car when I was inside of it. And it was this whole crazy story, and I had to like take off, and it was really scary, and I thought I was gonna die. And after, I was telling the story to someone, and she was like, oh, that's disgusting, I can't believe someone would do that, how horrible. And you know, at the time I was becoming more of a mindful person, Buddhism, compassion, appreciation, kindness for all, and seeing like the true value of having love and appreciation for everything. And I just remember saying to her, like, you know, like, I could look at it that way, but who am I to judge this person that had to grow up in a world where they feel forced to have to break into people's cars to steal things to survive? Like, the fear that must go on in that person's life is awful, and I feel really blessed. You know, I'm healthy, I'm safe, I'm okay. So I don't need to judge that person just because they do something I don't like or wrong or scary. You know, they are who they are, and I really believe that everyone serves an important purpose in this world. And the more we start to see people through love, the more that the fear starts to go away. There's always going to be some fear there, but the more we see people through love and not just their actions for like, I can't believe it. You know, anytime you look at something, you're like, I can't believe it. How is this possible? Like, this person's this, the other thing. I can't believe people out there can do these things. It's like, try to have some empathy for them. And I'm not saying you need to condone. This is a big thing. It's like, you don't have to agree with what they're doing. You don't have to support it by any means. Someone does something bad or violence or harm to anyone, but you can at least have some sort of compassion and understanding of why they might be in that situation, because it's not going to change by fighting them. By trying to fight someone who is angry and upset, you're only creating more and more hate. And I really, this is something I want to explain, because I think the more you can see life as just all perfect and all connected and all together, the less that like the anger and the fear is there. And if I can help even just one person overcome some of the fear in their heart, because I know there's so much fear going on right now, I know there's so much confusion, and I get it, and I really feel for you, and it can be a scary world to live in, but it's a choice, you know. And when you see beyond the illusion, you know, the illusion is this like solid reality where there is race and there is color and there's privilege and not privilege and money and not. It's like when you see beyond all that stuff and you realize that the world is just based on, it's just energy, and it's like the Nikola Tesla quote, if you want to know the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. It's actually tattooed on my wife's body. It's like, it's that idea, like we come from something so much more great and grand than this illusion that we're living in. And I think we're living in this illusion to understand things and to grow. And to actually grow, you need to realize that you're not just this physical body. And if you attach your whole identity to this physical body, to this color, to this race, to this gender, whatever it is, I think you're missing something so much greater that can actually bring you so, so, so much more. And it's easy to compare. It's easy to look at ourselves and compare us to somebody else and to judge. But that, to me, that world is over. That's like kind of what I left behind. And it's almost interesting, you know, quote unquote, creating content now, because I feel like in it but not of it, if that makes sense. Like I'm doing the things, and I'm realizing that I don't have the same identity that I used to have. I don't have this ego that I'm attached to. And it creeps up in moments. I step back into the character that I'm, you know, quote unquote, playing, and, you know, I do my thing and I have my thoughts and opinions. But at the end of the day, it's all silly. It's all made up. And when we're able to connect more from a place of heart and connect more from a place of truth and not from judgment and separation, you know, a lot of the big shifts that people are hoping for, that they think are going to take, you know, years and hundreds of years, actually start to happen a lot quicker. So there's a lot to kind of take in this podcast. What I would suggest is just doing some writing, you know, and really thinking about who you are and authentically who you are, like who you really truly are in this moment, you know, how you define yourself by sex, by race, by, you know, job, by whatever it might be. Think about those things and think about what's really real to you and what is something that you're just holding on to, maybe out of fear. I hope you all are well today. Thank you for subscribing to, that the word subscribe, rescribe, I'm gonna make a new word. Thank you for clicking, following, liking, subscribing, trusting, opening, flowing, swimming in this sea of magic that is life. And you know, that is probably a thing I should mention. It's like we subscribe to channels, but really we subscribe to beliefs. And sometimes you gotta hit that unsubscribe button. Sometimes you gotta unsubscribe from the things that are holding you back. I have a coaching and mentor business that I do, and where I basically do one-on-one. I'm working on a group project program now too, but I do one-on-one coaching for people in 6 months to a year, and I help you define your goals and I help you stick to them. We have, you know, weekly or bi-weekly calls, and we talk through different things, and we basically just help you like figure out what, you know, is serving you and what is not serving you. And if you are interested in that, you can email me at youenjoylifemusic@gmail.com to talk about it. I'm happy to help you live a freaking amazing, awesome life. But one of the exercises recently that I had one of my clients do was about like kind of skimming away the fat in life. It's like, you know, and it's like unsubscribing. It's like going through your YouTube subscriptions and honestly unsubscribing from things that don't serve you anymore, that maybe 5 years ago you were interested in. Now they're just like drama and crap and all this stuff that doesn't serve you. And it's like we have to do that in life sometimes. We need to unsubscribe from the things that, you know, we once subscribed to and now don't serve us, and let them go and actually look into a new life. And sometimes stepping into a new reality isn't always easy, but it's ultimately the most rewarding thing. And it's just nice to be here with everybody. I hope you have a beautiful day. Much love.